Shortly past 10:30 in the morning, you're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, alongside Richard Pollock and Ezra Ginsberg. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, Facebook.com/Illegal Curve, and our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets news is IllegalCurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We are pleased to welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hockey Hall of Fame journalist with the Globe and Mail, Eric Dehatchik. Eric, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us on our season preview show.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure, guys.
Eric, obviously, we brought you on to talk about the Western Conference. We had your colleague Kevin Allen on earlier to talk about the Eastern Conference. So I want to start with the Stanley Cup champion Chicago Blackhawks. It's, I guess, the prize that they win for winning the Cup is that we get to talk about them first on this program this year. It seems in the West it's an every-second-year thing with the Blackhawks. They win the Cup, then they take a step back. They win the Cup, then they take a step back. Do you foresee them taking that same step back this season, or have they done enough in this offseason with retooling their lineup that they're going to be hungry enough to make it back to the Stanley Cup Finals?
Well, I mean, you know, it's a really good question, and I guess I should preface that by, you know, sort of giving you my macro view of the West, which is I just think that I've never seen a conference this tight as long as I've been doing this, because you know, I said to several general managers that I've been talking to this fall, just to, in terms of doing my own preview material, I said let's try an exercise that we never do. We always try to pick, you know, the conferences from top to bottom. I said, let's pick the conference from the bottom to the top. And it forces you to think things differently, right? So everybody pretty much, you know, put Arizona in the last spot. But nobody could come up with which was the second worst team in the West, because you could imagine a scenario for all those teams that are the bubble teams that they could slip as far as 13th, but they could make the playoffs. So having said that, I think that Chicago is one of the teams that you can pencil in for a playoff spot. I'm not prepared to go any further than that. I do think that they always retain the key pieces. So as long as the Patrick Kane's off ice issues don't distract them, you know, he's going to have another good year. I think Jonathan Taves is going to have another good year. Marian Hossa seems ageless to me. You know, they've got Brent Seabrook signed to a contract. Duncan Keith is, you know, the rubber band man. He just seems to be able to play and play and play. So they have enough to make the playoffs. But, you know, the answer to your question is going to be determined by, you know, is Marco Dano going to be able to find a spot? I mean, they've sent him down. I think they were trying to send a message. I expect that he'll be back in the National Hockey League very quickly. But that was a pointed reassignment. You know, he was a guy that was given an opportunity to play on the top line, and they thought he was ordinary in training camp. So, you know, how will Anisimov fit in there? You know, will Tara Vanen take the next step? Certainly looks capable of doing it. So I can't imagine them winning the Cup again. That, to me, would be an extraordinary thing. To be able to win back-to-back with all of the changes that they've made. As you say, you know, they should be in contention. They always seem to be able to put enough of a team together to make that run. But I don't see them winning the Stanley Cup. I think there will be another team that emerges from the West that will knock them off this year.
Eric, as you know, the popular pick right now for the Stanley Cup is probably Anaheim Ducks, among other teams, but especially out of the West, it's either the Hawks or the Ducks. When you look at what they did in the offseason, they didn't really retool the team that much, but they get Carl Hagelin from New York at the draft, mm-hmm. and they add Chris Stewart, and you know they lose Francois Beauchemin, pick up Kevin Bieksa. Do you think they've done enough, in your mind, to get past the Chicago Blackhawks and get where they want to be, which is in the Stanley Cup final?
Well, I do think that, you know, to me, if I were to try and pick one team out of the West right now that has the best team on paper, I would make it Anaheim. And I guess my only question mark is, you know, how will the goaltending look when they actually start playing the games for keeps in April? Because I'm pretty sure they're going to start the season with Freddie Anderson as the number one, with Anton Hudobin as a guy that spells him every fourth game. But I believe by signing John Gibson to that contract extension, they have basically privately told him, go down to the minors, play well for a couple of months. We will give you an opportunity to play some NHL games and cash an NHL paycheck. And I think that deep down, that is the plan, that they would like to, in December at some point, bring Gibson up, give him an opportunity to play some games consecutively and see just how ready he is to play in the National Hockey League. Because I think that they believe that when they finally win a Stanley Cup, it will be with John Gibson in goal. So that to me is the one question mark, just to see how that entire situation resolves itself. If Gibson is in the minors the entire year, you know, I think that they're confident that they can get enough wins out of Freddie Anderson. They were not a great defensive team last year, but they gave him a lot of run support, which is saying something. When you look at, you know, at Getzlaff and Perry, they're the top two scorers by far on that team. And, you know, Perry had a really tough regular season with the injuries and the mumps and all of those different things. So I think they are the most interesting team going into the West. And your question sort of assumed that they were returning to the main group. Yeah, like Chicago, they have their core group intact. But if you look at the year-over-year change from the starting lineup, like where they started in October compared to where they are this year, I mean, you forget, or you know, it's easy to overlook the fact that, you know, Simone Dupre, you know, he came at the trade deadline. He was a last-minute addition. Beauchemin is gone. BX is stepping in. I mean, I think the last time I counted, I thought there was seven or eight new faces year over year. That's a pretty significant turnover for a team that had, you know, tied for the most points in the Western Conference. So it will be a bit of a chemistry experiment in the early going to see how those newcomers that you reference, and even how the guys that they were trying to integrate in the final 2 months of the season fit in. You know, and the people that, you know, that they've had there for years, like the Boleskis and the Emerson Adams, all these guys that were supposed to be ducks of the future, they're all gone. So it's, you know, they've changed the chemistry of the team. They've changed the outlook. I mean, they're only 2 years removed from a time when Saku Koivu and Teemu Selänne played top nine roles on the team. So let's see how it all comes together for Bruce Boudreau this year.
You look at the St. Louis Blues, Eric, and I mean, it seems like much of the same. The roster, you know, you make the trade of Oshie for Brouwer, and maybe that changes the makeup of the roster a bit, especially in the dressing room. And you had a guy like Kyle Brodzik, I like as a, you know, fourth line center, pretty smart player. But overall, the team hasn't changed significantly, and there are still questions in goal, and they kind of seem to still be built. Maybe a slower kind of physical style, though they're adding in some skill, but maybe different than some other teams are being built, especially skating-wise in the National Hockey League. And Ken Hitchcock now, with obviously the contract possibly being up and him being maybe on the way out, what do you see for this squad?
Yeah, they're a tough team for me to analyze, because, you know, I do think that even though the personnel hasn't changed significantly, the roles certainly have. You know, I think that at the point that, you know, where the Tarasenko and Jaden Schwartz are in their careers, you know, it wasn't that long ago that they were basically the third line guys. And what made St. Louis so attractive at that point was that you had these two young guys that could score a lot of goals from you, playing behind veteran players that were also really good. So St. Louis had, I thought, the best top three lines in the NHL for a couple of years there. I'm not sure that by moving TJ Oshie out and bringing Troy Brouwer in that they're necessarily that team anymore. As you say, you know, they've added a little bit of grit. So they, you know, this was a team that already played a heavy game and played hard, and they've added more of that style. So they are swimming against the conventional wisdom of how you play in the National Hockey League, but they do have an exceptional defense core. Like, their top three guys are as good as, you know, pretty much every team outside of, you know, maybe Calgary and Nashville. You know, those are guys that can burn a lot of minutes and play really well for you. So I like their pieces, but they've never been able to put the pieces together. And I think they, you know, they themselves don't know if this is all going to come together and how they're going to be. They're another team that should be about 10 points better than the bottom half of the conference. So I see them in the playoffs, but I don't see them, I don't see them being any better than they were last year. And I think that they're poised to take a half a step back.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. We're joined by Eric Dehatchuk of the Globe and Mail discussing the Western Conference as part of our 2015-16 season preview spectacular. Eric, the Los Angeles Kings had a busy offseason.
Yeah.
This is after a year where they had a ton of controversy swirling around them almost really from day one last season. The controversy should be a lot less this season. They seem to have resolved a lot of those issues. But is the defense good enough to get the Los Angeles Kings back into the playoffs?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think people are underrating the Los Angeles Kings a little bit, and I think you do that to your peril. I think that one of the things that, everybody talked about was that, you know, after playing 11 playoff series in 3 years, these guys were burned out. I mean, they were through Calgary the final week of the regular season, and they needed to win a game, and they just didn't seem to have anything left in the tank. But even at that, even with the kind of season that they had, you know, it's easy to lose sight of the fact that, their biggest problem was they weren't very good after 60 minutes of regulation ended. I mean, if you look at their overtime and shootout record, they were in 18 games that went, you know, past the regulation 16 minutes. They only got points in three of them. That was really the difference between them missing the playoffs or making the playoffs. And if you look at Anaheim, I mean, they were the opposite. I mean, Anaheim was exceptional in the extra period, and I think they got an extra 13 points. I think they were 16 and 7. So if you think about, you know, the 16 points that Anaheim got in extra time compared to the three that LA got, you know, that's the 14 points that separate them in the standings. So, you know, I put a lot of faith in how teams perform over 60 minutes of regulation, and I don't see a lot of difference between those two teams. So, you know, Jonathan Quick, I think, you know, will benefit from the time off. Drew Doughty will benefit from the time off. I don't think that they have the depth on defense that other teams do. I mean, you know, losing Slava Voynov like they were, I think they really thought that they would be able to put him in the lineup this year. So I think that was a blow. Christian Ehrhoff was signed as essentially his replacement. He will have to play top 4 minutes. Now, he is a guy that can, I think, still do that. If you think about how effective he was those couple of years that he was in Vancouver as a top two pair with Edler, he was excellent. But, you know, he has a bit of a concussion history or an injury history. So, you know, can you reasonably expect to get 75 games out of Christian Ehrhoff? If you get 75 games out of Christian Ehrhoff, if Martinez is fine, if Doughty's fine, if Muzzin's fine, I think the defense is okay. But unlike, say, Calgary or even Winnipeg, a team that can afford to lose one or two defensemen and still have enough guys to push into a top four role, there's nobody like that in Los Angeles. So their entire season hinges on, you know, keeping Doughty and Quick healthy. Those are really important linchpins on that team. I mean, you could say that, I guess, about every team. If you lose a key player, you're going to be worse. But there's nobody remotely close to those two guys in that lineup that can step in and fill those minutes. You know, Calgary loses Giordano. You know, they have guys like Brody and Weidman that can step in and did do an effective job last year. But I also think that, you know, bringing in Milan Lucic, you know, I know that, you know, the management there believes that Lucic with Kopitar and Gabrick is like Gillies, Bossy and Trache. They just feel that Kopitar has never really had the kind of support that he needs to be a number one center in the National Hockey League in terms of his offensive production. I think they think that, you know, along with Taves and Bergeron, he's one of the best two-way centers in the game. So if that line clicks, and I don't think that it's been great in training camp, but I think they're going to stick with it. If that line clicks, and if Pearson is healthy, and if Carter is rejuvenated, you know, I think they'll have a reasonable amount of scoring from that second line. And, you know, you reference the off-ice distractions. If they can put those behind them, if they can be focused on hockey when the puck drops for the start of the season, I think they'll be a lot better. I think that's the one team that, you know, people are looking at that. There are people that believe that the Kings are in a state of decline. I see a bounce back year for the Los Angeles Kings.
Eric, I agree with you, by the way. Eric, about switching to about a 7.5-hour drive south of Winnipeg, the Minnesota Wild, when you talk about teams that haven't really done much in the offseason, with maybe the exception of signing Mike Riley out of the University of Minnesota, to me, I love this defense, and I think it's one of the deepest in the NHL, and I really like Matthew Dumba, and it looks like Christian Folan is going to be their sixth defenseman there. When you look at the Minnesota Wild and all of the underachieving forwards they have, do you think this is maybe a team that surprises a lot of people in the Western Conference this year?
Well, I'm not sure. That's a great question. You know, like, well, how good is Thomas Vanek going to be, really? You know, how good is he going to be? Mm-hmm. You know, Michael Granlund is a guy that we've been watching and waiting for to take that next step. You know, he was a 39-point guy last year. I think a lot of people believe he's a minimum 60-point guy in the National Hockey League, and that Minnesota isn't really going anywhere unless those centers, him and Koivu, can step up the offensive production. I mean, I think Koivu had, what, 48 points. So, you know, I mean, if you expect to win a championship, it is hard to win that if nobody that's, you know, a regular at center is scoring 50 points a game. So that would be my concern. I mean, I love Zach Parise. I love the way he and Ryan Suter have gone in there and really changed the dynamic of the dressing room and brought, like, a winning atmosphere and attitude. But, you know, to me, like a lot of people, you know, is Devin Dubnyk going to be the goalie that came in there and really saved their season? I mean, they were sputtering because their goaltending just wasn't up to the standard of the modern NHL last year until they got Dubnyk. He came in there and he was the right fit at the right time, and we've seen that lots of times in the history of hockey. I think he's going to be okay. But I wonder if he falters a little bit, or if he gets an injury there, do they have anybody else that can step up and play? So, you know, they're an interesting team. To me, they're solid in a lot of different areas. They're not spectacular in any, but I think that they've got enough to make the playoffs too.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. Our guest is Eric Dehatchik, Hockey Hall of Fame journalist with the Globe and Mail, discussing the Western Conference as part of our 2015-16 season preview show.
You know, Eric, I appreciate hockey skill. I know you do as well. And you look at the Dallas Stars, and there's no lack of skill there. And I like what Jim Neal's trying to do in Dallas, you know, being creative and adding a bunch of players. And you look at their offense, it looks like it's primed to, you know, have great output, even maybe better than last year, and a young player like Valerie Nichushkin, who is tremendous talent, could be poised to have a breakout season. And you look at the back end now, guys who can move the puck, you know, Klingberg, Demers, Oduya, and Goligoski can all move the puck. I guess the question is, can the defense defend well enough? Are the forwards willing to help defend? And is the goaltending good enough?
Well, you're right. Those are the questions. Now, you want me to answer those.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, here's the thing. I had a long talk with Lindy Ruff about a month ago, just about a lot of different things, and he pointed out that they were the second highest scoring team in the National Hockey League last year, but defense wins in the National Hockey League, and so, you know, they weren't good enough in that side of the puck. And so I think that has been the focus through training camp. Just be better there. That, you know, they want to be an exciting team. They want to be an offensive team. They want to be a team that scares you when they go into your building. It's like, uh-oh, here comes Sagan, here comes Ben, here comes Spezza, here comes Sharp, here comes Nikushkin. And these guys, you're right, they're talented. And I think that, you know, in the situation where they've brought in, you know, Patrick Sharp and Johnny Oduya, you know, those guys played with Niemi, who's also come in to help supplement the goaltending in Chicago. They've got that championship pedigree. I think that's part of what they were hoping to acquire when they brought those guys in, the idea that they could come in and say, okay, the difference between being a good team in the National Hockey League and a team that challenges for championships is X, Y, and Z. So, I wish I could give you a good answer, because I kind of have the same questions in my own mind. You know, I'm sitting there trying to shoehorn eight teams into the playoffs, and I do think that, you know, if you look at the teams that were on the outside looking in last year, you know, who gets in? Okay, I'm putting Los Angeles in my top eight, and I am putting Dallas in my top eight. So, you know, you have to take two teams out in order to do that. But I just think that Dallas had stretches last year where they played okay, and their defense let them down, and their goaltending let them down. And I think that they felt that they overplayed Letton, and he wasn't sharp at different times, and they're going to go to a true platoon this year, where, you know, both guys essentially split the job and should be rested. They're hoping that, because, you know, they're both Finns, that they get along and they develop the kind of chemistry that goalie tandems have to have, I think, to be able to function. And I think that will help them, because, you know, if you look at where they were at, I mean, they're, you know, Lettinen was okay last year. They tried to, you know, Lindback, I think, started the year there. He just really didn't have a very good season for them, and they kind of lost confidence in him. So they need somebody to go in and play those games that they lost when Lindback was there, and I think that they feel that with Niemi that they've got that. And so if Niemi is good, and if Lettinen is good, and if the goaltending overall is better than it was last year, I think that is the single most important thing. If they just get more saves, then I think that masks a lot of other areas of weakness on a team.
Eric, we'd be remiss if we didn't ask you about our hometown Winnipeg Jets. Obviously, you know, we're in the fishbowl here in Winnipeg, and we're, you know, swimming with Jets information and knowledge and overwhelmed by it on a day-to-day basis. What's your perspective of the Jets from a guy who's outside of the fishbowl, as I mentioned? You're going to see them tonight as they play their final exhibition game in Calgary. What's your perception of the Jets entering the 2015-16 NHL season?
Well, I think the key player there is Andrei Pavlik, because if he plays the way he did in the final third of the season when he was exceptional, if he plays that well for the Jets for over the course of a regular season, I think they're going to be absolutely fine. You know, he has been an inconsistent player in the past, as you know. And, you know, to me, you know, Michael Hutchinson is a question mark. I think Michael Hutchinson is to the west what Andrew Hammond is to the east, a guy who came kind of out of nowhere and was really good for them for a long stretch of time and then faltered a bit down the stretch. So how does he bounce back from that? Because the history of the National Hockey League is littered with goaltenders that, you know, that arrive on the scene in a burst of energy and enthusiasm and impact. And some of them forge great careers and others, you know, become Blaine Locker and fall by the wayside. So you don't know. So you don't know about Hutchinson and you really don't know about Pavlik. I mean, I think he's skilled enough. When I see him and I see his athleticism and I see the way he tends goal, I get excited, you know, and I'm sure that that's one of the reasons that they've stuck with him, you know, organizationally for all these years. They just see really good raw material. And, you know, when at a certain point when all that those raw skills come together in a fully formed package, basically you get Carey Price. Well, or at least that's the standard that you hope to achieve. So what will Pavlik do and how good will he be? Because if he, you know, if he plays the way he did, you know, last year, the Jets are fine. They've got, you know, I like their young kids coming up. I like the idea of putting kids in the lineup. I think that that's really important in terms of keeping the enthusiasm level high. I saw it in Calgary. You know, when they sort of turned the corner on the old team and moved Ginla out and Tongay and Bouwmeester and Kipper. I mean, these were all terrific players for them and really good, solid citizens. But they were, the team had grown kind of stale, and so all of a sudden you've got that energy that a Johnny Gaudreau brings, the energy that a Sean Monahan brings. It made a difference. It made a difference with the veteran players, and certainly, you know, you can't discount their skill level. So then you look at where Winnipeg is at. I mean, I'm assuming Ehlers is going to make the team. You guys probably know that better than I. I think he's an electric player who is really going to give them something in a kind of a bottom six role. I think the NHL is going to a different model right now. You know, when I started covering, there was, you know, if you had two scoring lines, a checking line, and then a tough guy, change of pace, energy line, that was how people played. And I don't think that anybody does that anymore. I think goals are so hard to come by that most teams have reverted to a model now where they really try to put scorers on three lines, and then your checking line or energy line or your penalty killers are on the fourth line. And sometimes you have an energy guy down there, too. So that, I think, is the model that Winnipeg is embracing. I know that from talking to other teams, they think that the Jets are a very hard team to play against. They're heavy like St. Louis is, but way quicker. And so I think that that's what really makes them, nobody likes to play against the Winnipeg Jets just for that reason. So we'll see. I like their chances. So I'm trying to find the two teams that fall out of the playoffs in order for Los Angeles and Dallas to get in, and the two that I'm picking are Nashville and Vancouver. So I think the Jets have enough, assuming that everybody stays relatively healthy, to be a playoff team and to build on the success that they had last year.
Eric, you mentioned the Calgary Flames earlier, and of course you're based out of Calgary. When you look at the Calgary Flames and what they did in the offseason, trading for Dougie Hamilton, obviously signing Michael Frolik, is there any reason to believe why this team won't make the playoffs again this year?
Well, I think that they're a contender for the playoffs, but you know as well as I do that when a team makes the kind of year-over-year stride that Calgary does, you know, 77 points to 97, there's a natural tendency to go backwards. That happened to Colorado 2 years ago. It happens to a lot of young teams, and it's because development isn't done on a straight up word angle. You know, sometimes young players, you know, have moments where, you know, they fall off. When you look at, you know, the rookie crop from 2 years ago, Nathan MacKinnon won the Rookie of the Year. You know, he didn't have as good a second year. You know, all of the guys drafted really ahead of Sean Monahan. Sean Monahan in Calgary was the one guy, sixth overall in that draft, who was better in his second year than his first year. I don't think you could say that about Seth Jones or Barkov or Drouin or MacKinnon. So, you know, what happens this year? I it is difficult to say. I think in the first 3 years, every young player gets a little bit of a mulligan, because I think teams are smart enough to know that there's going to be ups and there's going to be downs. So, you know, you've got that on the one side of the ledger, but the other side of the ledger, you know, you referenced it. I mean, Dougie Hamilton is coming in. You essentially get a top four, you know, verging on a top two defenseman for, without giving up a player off your roster, right? Three draft choices. You know, Frolik, you know, I don't have to tell you about him. They're excited here because he can play up the lineup. He can play down the lineup. He's just a solid pro. He gives them somebody that they just love his versatility. And, you know, the goaltending thing has yet to resolve itself, but they have good options there. You know, Hiller had a good year for them. Ramo had a good year for them. And the young player coming through the Yanks, Yoni Ordio, has had an excellent camp. You guys saw him on Thursday in Winnipeg. I think they're kind of leaning towards keeping him because he's only 24. He's only making $600,000. I think they want to see if he's able to play, you know, a third of the season at the NHL level and at what level he's able to play. So I think that they're, you know, on target for about the same kind of a year. I think that, you know, that tendency to step backwards is going to be balanced off by the fact that they have made significant upgrades to their lineup. And I haven't mentioned Sam Bennett, but he looks to me like one of those young players that can come in and have an impact. I mean, they haven't settled on whether he's going to play center or left wing, but we got a cameo look at him at the end of the year, and he's one of those guys really fun to watch. He's got a little bit of that Doug Gilmore tenacity. He's always sticking his nose in there, but very high skill level too. So I think he's one of those players that coaches love to have on their team, and he can do a lot of different things for you. And I think that his upside is tremendous. You know, when Monahan and Bennett become, you know, established National Hockey League centers at the age of 24 or 23, if Calgary has built all of the parts around them properly, they should be a Stanley Cup contender, but that's a few years off.
Obviously, Edmonton, Eric McDavid is getting generating all the headlines, and probably rightfully so. But just if you want to compare, I guess, Edmonton and their young talent, and Colorado, you talked about McKinnon's struggles last year, but they still have a lot of young talent, and they had a few players, Zadorov, on the back end. Obviously, they bring in Beauchemin. Of those two teams, is there one you like better than the other?
Well, that's not a bad question. I don't see either of them being in the playoffs, frankly. I guess I'm most interested in seeing, you know, where Edmonton is going, because I think, you know, McDavid is an important addition, obviously. I also think that having stability at coaching is really going to matter in Edmonton. I mean, they've had just such a revolving door of coaches there. Dallas Eakins, Todd Nelson, Ralph Kruger, Pat Quinn, Tom Rennie. I'm probably missing some, but they, you know, it almost seems to be the coach of the year club in Edmonton. And I think that frustrates players, because learning doesn't happen. Like, you can't wave a magic wand and all of a sudden absorb a system. You know, when you bring in a new coach, you bring in new vocabulary, you bring in new strategies, and it takes time for those learning moments to become the kind of, you know, effortless. We're not even thinking about it. We're just playing the system. I mean, think about how long it took the Jets to sort of adapt to Paul Maurice, to really learn the style of play that he wants to. I would say it took a year, right, from the midpoint of the year he took over until halfway through the, you know, his first full year, but his second year there. And I think that will happen in Edmonton too. But I think that they are looking for structure there. They have not had any kind of a commitment to defense that you really need to have in today's NHL. I mean, I love the wild, unpredictable style that they've played a little bit over the years, but it just doesn't translate into winning hockey in today's NHL. So, you know, McDavid's an important piece. I mean, Everly, obviously, they're going to miss him in the first month, but the fact that you've got, you know, a Connor McDavid, you're probably going to get a full season out of Dreisaitl. You know, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, I thought, got better as the season went on last year. He's the one guy that nobody talks about because of all of this excitement about McDavid. I think he's going to have a really good year. He's a good player that's finally grown into his body a little bit. You know, if you saw the highlights this week, he is actually taking people out physically. You know, if you're looking for like a breakout player this year, I think Nugent Hopkins is that guy, and it'll happen very quietly because of all of the, you know, the hype and everything else there. So I see them like Pittsburgh was when they first got Crosby, when they were bringing Malkin into the lineup, as a team that's going to get better. They're going to learn the system that Todd McClellan is going to teach, and I think in about 2 years' time, you know, all things being equal, and if Cam Talbot is a number one goaltender in the National Hockey League, they could just explode. They could be fun to watch. They could, you know, play a go-go style. They could, you know, beat you a lot of different ways. I just don't see that happening quite yet. I think it's going to take some time to get to that level, but I don't think it's that far off.
Eric, we'll let you go on this last question. I'm sure you know what's coming. Your prediction for your Eastern and Western Conference representatives in the Stanley Cup Final, and who do you think is going to be hoisting Lord Stanley's mug at the end of June 2016?
Yeah, well, I hate doing that because I don't know who's going to be injured, when the playoffs start. So it's really a tough call. But I like Los Angeles in the West. I know almost nobody is picking them, and I like Pittsburgh in the East. I mean, I think Pittsburgh really has pieces that they can put into place. They were terrible last year at the end, you know, but Malkin was hurt and Letang wasn't right. And I just think that Sidney Crosby is a guy that wins, and I think he's really burning. There's a burning desire there for him to win a championship. I mean, he's getting older. He's been in the league. This is his 11th year, I think. And so I just think that they will, if they stay healthy and if they get all those pieces going in the right direction, I think that they have a decent chance.
Eric DeHatchick writes for the Globe and Mail. He's a Hockey Hall of Fame journalist. Eric, we always appreciate your time, especially on our season preview show. It wouldn't be the same without you. Thanks very much for joining us this morning.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Take care. Let's head to break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290. Big thank you to Eric DeHatchick of the Globe and Mail for joining us to break down the Western Conference. Previously, Kevin Allen joined us in the first hour to break down the Eastern Conference. In case you missed either of those interviews or any of the show at all, it will be available for download on iTunes, on IllegalCurve.com, also, I believe, on TSN1290.ca. This segment of the show is brought to you by Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, officially declared the funniest place in Winnipeg by Illegal Curve Hockey. For 30 years, Rumors has been bringing Winnipeg the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit RumorsComedyClub.com. Tonight at Rumors, Scott Falconbridge is in town. His final shows are tonight. Check him out. He's been killing it all week. And still to come later on in October, Eliza Schlesinger, is going to be in town. Some additional shows have been added because all the initial shows have sold out just that quickly. Check it out, RumorsComedyClub.com. When we come back, we shift our focus to the Central Division as part of our 2015-16 season preview spectacular live on TSN 1290. 10 minutes past 11 in the morning. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, our 2015-16 season preview spectacular. Reminder, Wednesday, 6 p.m., the season premiere of NHL This Week with Illegal Curve Hockey. Comprehensive Winnipeg Jets coverage leading you up to Thursday's game in Boston. Also, of course, we'll have previews of both the Boston and New Jersey games with broadcasters and journalists from those fine cities. 6 p.m. Wednesday here on TSN 1290. We start with the Central Division, the team that was at the top of the Central, the St. Louis Blues, a record of 51-24-7 last season. They acquired Troy Brower and Kyle Brodziak this offseason. They lose TJ Oshie. They lose Barrett Jackman. They lose Binnick Mihalik. They also lose a couple of other players that were mostly depth guys. Give me a reason why the St. Louis Blues are going to not be the typical underachieving playoff bust that we've seen each and every season.
Well, I can right now give you that, Drew, but I guess if we're just talking regular season and you know, who knows what they do move-wise before the playoffs. But I agree with you. As currently constructed, they just provide, to me, there's too many flaws, you know, not quick enough up front. Goaltending is a question mark. Are they going to be buying into Hitchcock here, or is his, you know, is the value of his word in that room fading? Brower maybe helps the room. Maybe they feel like they need more leadership there. I mean, Brower's a good player. He's got a good shot. Different player than TJ Oshie, but maybe it gives them, as Eric Tatch said, more grit, even though they have a lot of grit. They need Paul Stastny to be a lot better. They need him to be a lot better because last year was a significant struggles. I look at their team, though, and as you mentioned, you know, it's a similar squad. So I think they're a playoff team. They have a lot of talent. But the question is the play. It's kind of like San Jose was before. Different teams entirely in terms of the way they're built. But, you know, they're almost always going to make the playoffs, so you think they are. It's what do they do when they get there.
Exactly, Rich. And they've been perennial Stanley Cup underachievers for really 10 years, 15 years now. And the St. Louis Blues, you know, under Ken Hitchcock, are going to be structured and they're going to be hard to play against. You're not going to get a lot of goals on the St. Louis Blues. And I agree with Rich. I think, you know, we talked about this a few weeks ago. You know, do the Blues midseason or before the trade deadline go after a guy like Cam Ward or someone to really get a goaltender that they know? And, I mean, they tried doing it with Ryan Miller, and that didn't quite work out a couple of years ago. But the St. Louis Blues team is really skilled, and you almost think that maybe this team should be opening it up a little bit more when you have guys like Vladimir Tarasenko and Jaden Schwartz. And players like this.
And defense that can move the puck.
Yes. And, you know, this team, you know, with Petrangelo and Bomeister and Carl Gunnarsson, I thought it had a good year last year. You know that this team is not going to give you a lot. But I don't know what the X factor that gets them in. I agree with Rich. A guy like Paul Stastny, who was given a lot of money as a free agent, he has to be better. His offensive totals have to be better. But the St. Louis Blues team, I don't know if they finished first in the Central Division, because this year I have Colorado and Dallas as playoff teams, and I think their point totals are going to be up. So I still think Chicago, to me, is the team that wins the Central Division. But St. Louis, I can't see them finishing any worse than second or third in the Central Division. There's just so much skill there. And, you know, a guy like Robbie Fabry will get a chance. Kyle Brodziak, by the way, is an underrated player. I really like that acquisition for the fourth line, can kill penalties and all that.
Also, again, hurts a division rival having him come over from Minnesota.
So, I mean, this team, it's tough to play against. When the St. Louis Blues might not be the most exciting team to watch, and that's even with guys like Tarasenko. But Ken Hitchcock, we know, he wants those games low scoring, and that's conducive to playoff hockey.
The problem is,
do they have the wrong type of system for the skilled players that they have?
A good question. The reason that their regular season team is the way that they're built is they can beat bad teams. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's when you get up against fast teams that are high end, Blackhawks, or you know, not fast but more physical or more talented than them, L.A., Minnesota. They meet their match in the playoffs, and they can't step it up. I mean, when they're playing against poor teams with that structure and that defense and that physicality, yeah, they're taking advantage.
I think it tells you all you need to know about the St. Louis Blues, that they lost to the Wild in the first round.
But they struggled at the end of the season, too.
But nobody was the least bit surprised.
Yes, that's true.
Nashville Predators, they were a surprise team last season, finished second in the Central Division, 47-25-10. The additions this year, Barrett Jackman, ex of the St. Louis Blues. Cody Hodgson comes over after being bought out by the Buffalo Sabres. They lose Victor Stahlberg, Taylor Beck, Matt Cullen, Mike Santarelli, and Cody Franzen. Is this Predators team, I mean, I don't think they weren't as good as they were last year, but really, where are they in the Central Division this season?
It's a good question, right, Drew? I mean, are they not as good as last year? I mean, they exceeded expectations. Their goaltending is tremendous. Their defense is, you could argue, top three.
Sure.
You could. I mean, is there a better right side than Shea Weber, Seth Jones? You have Ryan Ellis there. I mean, that's, you know, because Jones and Weber dominant. And you have Roman Josi. He's very underrated. He's a very good player. So I look at their back end, and I see a really good squad who can move the puck and can eat big minutes and play on the power play. It's their forwards that are the biggest question mark for me. And I don't know if they've sold me on it. That's why I have them as a fringe playoff team. I'm undecided in terms of if they make it. But a guy like Cody Hodgson, they're hoping for the same thing from Cody Hodgson as they have from Mike Ribeiro last year.
Sure.
But does he have the skill? Hodgson has the skill. Not the best skater, not the biggest guy. And does Ribeiro replicate what he did when he's not in a contract year trying to prove himself again?
A lot of questions. Buffalo Sabres are buying you out. You know there's a problem.
Well, I mean, but you would have said that before about Arizona or Phoenix, right?
Yeah, Cody Hodgson has been very underwhelming so far in his NHL career. I have the Nashville Predators missing the playoffs this year. I think last year they got off to just a crazy start, and they really just kind of rode that wave. They weren't a dominant second half team, Rich. They really kind of got off to that start, as I mentioned, and that really was one of the main reasons why they made the playoffs. They surprised a lot of teams. Colorado and Dallas, again, to me, are two teams that I think will be better this year in the division. I think they'll beat out Nashville for a playoff spot. Pekka Rinne, as Richie mentioned, he's healthy. I mean, it's tough to pick against Nashville because Pekka Rinne is that good, and with the defense in front of them, as Richie mentioned, with big Shea Weber there, who I think is one of the best defensemen in the NHL, and I'm not the first one to say that, but you know, it's a really deep group.
Seth Jones is
a guy that just keeps getting better and better, still very young. Ryan Ellis I've always really liked. But, you know, they're not the strongest team up the middle there with Ribeiro and Fisher, and then a guy like Yarncroc is kind of developing there on the third line for them. It's a team to me that it's talented, but I don't know if they score enough goals, and they just can't. I don't think they'll duplicate the start that they had last year.
Let's head to break. When we come back, we'll continue our look at the Central Division. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show 2015-16 Season Preview Spectacular on TSN 1290. 20 minutes past 11 in the morning. Welcome back to TSN 1290. This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. This segment brought to you by our friends at Royal Sports. Since 1974, Royal Sports has been Winnipeg's number one hockey shop, plus so much more, like soccer to shoes to snowboards. For locations, hours, and more, check them out online at royalsports.com. Sportsnet.me. We continue with our look at the Central Division by looking at the 2014-15 Stanley Cup champion Chicago Blackhawks. And as the Blackhawks have to do every year when they win the Stanley Cup, they have to retool. Brandon Saad gone, Antti Raanta gone, Antoine Vermette, Brad Richards, Patrick Sharp, Johnny Oduya, Christopher Stieg, Joachim Nordstrom. Coming in, Artem Anisimov, Artemi Panarin, Victor Tikhonov, Ryan Garbutt, Trevor Daly, and Marco Dano.
Say that again, Drew.
No, thank you. It's a little bit of a mouthful right there. They're still, can they do it? Can they go back-to-back? It hasn't been done in since when now?
I mean, 97, 98,
Detroit. Can this Blackhawks team be the team to do it, or is it just too difficult in this day and age to go back-to-back?
I think it's too difficult. I'm not gonna say this day and age. I think it still will happen, Drew. I just think you have to be returning a very similar squad. Now that goes both ways in that a different squad with changes maybe leaves you more fresh because not all your guys played until the end of June. But alternatively, if you're making all these changes, you're probably becoming a little bit less talented, which I think the Blackhawks have become. But less talented from a high point is different. Now remember this though: the Blackhawks kind of coasted through the regular season. They weren't that impressive. They woke up against Nashville, although that series could have gone both ways with some of those overtime games. Mm-hmm. So, I think they're going to make the playoffs, but I don't think they're just shoo-in for it. I mean, you have the Kane distraction as well. What, at the end of the day, I rely on with this team is you have Taves and Hossa and that great defense. And when you're relying on Keith and Seabrook and Chalmerson, who should be included in there, I feel comfortable, but all the matchups you have on a night-in, night-out basis against the other team.
It's sort of amazing, sorry, Ezzy, that the Blackhawks, for all these years, have never really had a key. I mean, I guess they had an injury to Kane last year, but it was sort of towards the tail end of the year, and came back for the playoffs. They've never had one of their key core guys out of the lineup entering the playoffs.
That's a test. Is that some luck? 100% is a testament to training regimen or just reliability of the player? Probably some of that as well.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Go ahead, Ezzy.
I mentioned this last segment. I think the Chicago Blackhawks will win the Central Division this year, and I don't know if they win the Stanley Cup again just because, as Richie mentioned, there's been some change big time here. When you look at Patrick Sharp and you look at Johnny Oduya, these are key pieces. Brandon Saad.
Yeah.
I don't think the guys, they wanted to lose Brandon Saad. They wanted to keep Brandon Saad. You know, they were able to keep Marcus Kruger by trading Chris Versteeg, and now they've put Brian Bickle on waivers. The core of this team, as Richie mentioned, though, is still excellent. You have Duncan Keith, one of the best defensemen in the NHL. Jonathan Taves, arguably the best overall player in the NHL. Kane, Hossa. We all know who the top guys for the Chicago Blackhawks are. Now, you mentioned Artemi Panarin and Victor Tikhonov, who are from the KHL. These guys have both made the team. Marco Dano did not make the team, which is a bit of a surprise there because he was playing on the first line in the preseason there. But this team's going to score a lot of goals. And I know I'm a little bit more... keen on Artem Anisimov than Rich is, but I think he'll be a good player for them. And, Andrew Shaw most likely will play on that second line there. And then Taves and Hossa, put whoever you want there with them on the first line. This defense is good. I don't think Trevor Daly is that big of a drop-off. I'd actually argue he's a better defenseman than Johnny Oduya. And Trevor Van Riemsdyk really impressed, even though he got injured there in the playoffs and then came back. So we know this team, if they want, they can just put Duncan Keith out there every second shift. So this Chicago Blackhawks team, although they've gone through some changes, I still think they're going to be a top team. But when it comes down to the playoffs, I don't know if they have that mix, that perfect mix that they've had three of the last 6 years. And as you mentioned, Drew, it is tough to repeat in this day and age, really in any sport.
Minnesota Wild finished 46-28-8 last season, good for fourth in the Central Division. That was on the backs of an incredible second-half surge led by goaltender Devan Dubnyk. The goaltending was the Achilles heel for the Wild in the first half of the season. Which Dubnyk is real? Is it the guy who caught lightning in a bottle for the last 30 games of last season, or is it the guy who's bounced around the NHL for the few years before? And what happens to the Wild if Dubnyk is not as good as he was at the end of last season?
Well, I'll get in here first, and then I'll let Richie give his opinion on the Minnesota Wild. I think the Minnesota Wild are a playoff team again this year, maybe third or fourth in the Central Division, and I think they'll be dangerous in the playoffs. Devan Dubnyk is real, Drew, and I think even though he struggled, this is a perfect team for him with the defense in front of him. I think on Devin Dubnyk, on other teams, more skilled teams, he might struggle a little bit. But Ryan Suter, Jonas Brodin, I know Richie really likes Jared Spurgeon. I like Marco Scandella, I think is a very underrated defenseman. Dumba has really come into his own over the last year. He was drafted a couple spots before Trouba, of course. I really like this defense. And I think even if Dubnyk does struggle a little bit, and I wouldn't expect Dubnyk to play, you know, 35 games in a row, whatever it was, I expect Darcy Kuemper to play a little bit more. But this team, I think, leaves a lot to be desired from a lot of the young forwards here. I think even Nino Niederreiter has more to give. Granlund and Koivu up the middle had kind of underachieving years for them, Rich. So I really like the Wild. I think they're going to be a tough team to play against. We know that when they come to the MTS Center, they always give the Jets hard games. All the games are usually one-goal games. I really like the Wild, and as I mentioned, I think they could take the next step in the playoffs this year.
Well, I mean, Drew, they had Dubnyk, who performs, you know, at a terrific level for them. But before that, they were just creating shots and not allowing shots. That's a pretty good formula.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to work. Are they the fastest team? No. They have some quickness, but not the fastest team. Certainly not the most physical team. I like their defense. Dubnyk surprised me. I think everybody last year certainly surprised me. Mike Yeo is a good coach. And, you know, Eric Tatch talked about it. A guy like Granlund, I think, is a great talent. I like Niederreiter's mix of shooting and physicality. I think they're a very solid squad who plays exactly how their coach wants them to play. So I think they're a very predictable playoff team.
The Jets, of course, we'll talk about in much more detail coming up on Wednesday's NHL This Week, the season premiere of that fine program. We're going to spend most of that show talking about the Jets season in its entirety as they get set to start off Thursday in Boston. So many questions still up in the air regarding the Jets. And, of course, their final preseason game comes later on this evening here on TSN 1290. Puck drop at 8 p.m. We get started at 5 o'clock with Winnipeg Jets game day, and our very own Richard Pollock will be joining Rick Ralph on the pre- and post-game show, so you can stay tuned to 1290 for that. Of course, Blue Bomber game day is still coming up at 1 o'clock this afternoon as the Bombers are in action against the Edmonton Oilers, the Dallas Stars, and the Colorado Avalanche, two teams that last year underachieved. A lot of teams had hopes for those two teams, and they significantly retooled their lineups this past offseason. Do you see one of those teams being ahead of the other as we enter into the start of the 2015-16 season?
Well, I think Mezzi and I may have differing views on this one, but I like the Dallas Stars here. They have a mix of speed and skill. You might want them to be a little bit more aggressive, but I'll take the skill over that aggressive play. John Klingberg was, I thought, really impressive last year in terms of coming as a youngster. I mean, a little bit, not 18, but coming into the league as a rookie. I liked his competitiveness. He was willing to battle guys. Maybe not the strongest guy, but he's willing to engage. Goligoski get a bounce back season in terms of, you know, being able to move the puck and play with some confidence. I mean, with the season prior, he was playing some forward. That's a little confidence the coaching staff had in him. I like Lehtinen, but in pressure situations, he's struggled, and he struggled with big workloads. So you add in a guy like Niemi. I like this squad. I think this squad is exceptionally dangerous and has two of the top ten most talented forwards in Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin. I know Benn had the surgery there, but I like the squad this year. I think this team's a playoff team.
Yeah, Dallas is definitely a playoff team. Had a great second half finish, especially in the last two or three weeks there. Jamie Benn, of course, winning the scoring title. But as Richie mentioned, this was a top five offense last year, and now you've added Patrick Sharp and Valerie Nichushkin will be healthy. Johnny Oduya, I can see why that trade was made. And then you solidified the goaltending with Antti Niemi. Even though Kari Lehtinen, I expect to be better this year, Rich, if he falters, he doesn't have to play as many games. So this Dallas Stars team, and you know, I know the analytics crowd looked at this team, and it was one team that really, based on their analytics, they should have done better. One of the best possession teams in the NHL, one of the best 5-on-5 teams in the NHL. They're going to score a lot of goals this year. They're going to be better defensively. The goaltending has to be better. So I agree with Rich. Dallas Stars are a playoff team. As far as the Colorado Avalanche go, I also think they're a playoff team. I think they really didn't recover from a poor start last year. I think Nathan MacKinnon was trying to do too much. I really like the move that they made. Ryan O'Reilly, I don't think, was the best fit for that team, to be honest with you. Everybody knew he was on his way out. You bring in Nikita Zadorov, Francois Beauchemin. I like that acquisition. If Tyson Barrie and Eric Johnson are healthy, I think they move the puck out of their zone better. Varlamov, we know, is a great goalie. So there's just so much talent there. I think Colorado gets back into the playoffs this year.
Before we head to break, I want to
quickly talk about Colorado. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs like Ezzie does, but I can see Ezzie's rationale there. I still think their forwards are kind of a mixed mash, and I think they're probably two defensemen away from, you know, their bottom end of the defense, or at least having like some B's and C's as opposed to A's and D's in terms of talent level on there.
Are you going over my report card from first year university?
Yeah, so I think they stunt like their bottom two lines. I know McKinnon right now, they're kind of experimenting with him on the third center. I don't love their bottom two lines. I don't think they have enough depth, but they should be better than last year.
Before we head to break, a couple of transactions. The waiver wire has come out. The Pittsburgh Penguins, we talked about him earlier in the year, Sergei Gonchar. He has been released from his professional tryout, so that might be the end of the line on a great NHL career for Sergei Gonchar.
He just can't skate anymore, but you're right, he had a tremendous career.
And in Edmonton, Nikita Nikitin, who was their big offseason defenseman from a couple years ago.
Well, I don't know why. He was never any good.
Well, but you know, because Scott Housen had a big voice in the Oilers' dressing room. Or in the Oilers.
Is that why? Whatever it was, Drew, I just didn't understand that contract from day one.
He's on waivers for the purposes of sending him to the AHL.
That's a contract quickly. That's a contract that hurts the player. I mean, he's going to get the most money, but if he had been signed in a more reasonable deal, he'd be able to get jobs around the league, likely.
Sure. Any event, let's head to break. When we come back, we'll shift our focus to the Pacific Division. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, our season preview spectacular, live on TSN 1290. One final division to go over as we continue on with our 2015-16 season preview spectacular here on TSN 1290. That is the Pacific Division, led by the Anaheim Ducks, Western Conference finalists last year, perennial top contender in the NHL, a record of 51-24-7 last season. We saw the juggernaut that they were in defeating the Winnipeg Jets in the first round of the playoffs. Acquisitions: Carl Hagelin, Chris Stewart, Sean Horkoff, Kevin Bieksa, and Mike Santarelli. Subtractions: Francois Beauchemin, Matt Beleski, Emerson Edom, James Wisniewski, Kyle Palmieri, and backup goaltender Jason LaBarbera. Are the Ducks, in your mind, as good as everybody is predicting that they're going to be as we enter the start of the season?
Yeah, they are. And the Anaheim Ducks, Richie, were outclassed by the Chicago Blackhawks in the Western Conference Final. Especially in the last two games, they were outscored by a 2-1 margin. I like the moves that they made. I know I like, you know, Kevin Bieksa's acquisition a little bit more than Rich does, but the main acquisition, that trade to get Carl Hagelin over, I like that. He'll play the wing in their top six, speedy guy who had a disappointing season last year in New York. Sean Horkoff, you know, that's more so for the fourth line. But, you know, Chris Stewart, that was kind of an underrated acquisition, I thought. I think a guy like him in the Western Conference will be a good kind of third line guy. If he chips in 15 goals, that's a bonus. Mm-hmm. But this team, I think last year, what really happened with this team is that on defense, they really came together as a group. And we were surprised last year when they made those acquisitions before the trade deadline. But, you know, you're talking about Hampus Lindholm, who's just an excellent defenseman there, Sammy Vatanen, and Cam Fowler. These three young guys are going to be on this defense for many years to come. Excellent in goal. We talked to Eric Duhatchik about it. It looks like John Gibson will start the season in the AHL, but they probably hope that he's in the NHL sooner rather than later, Richie. Freddie Anderson really emerged as an elite goaltender. This was his first full NHL season, but it's all about the core guys here, and we saw that in the first round against the Winnipeg Jets. Getzlaff, Perry, Kessler, the big boys. I mean, these guys, they turn it up when it comes to the playoffs. So to me, Rich, it's not a question if this team makes the playoffs or wins the division. I think they easily make the playoffs and easily win the division, or at the very least they're first or second in the division. It's can they get to the Stanley Cup Finals? Can they get past the teams like the Blackhawks and the Blues and the Wild and get to the Finals? Because you know that they'll be there.
Can a Bruce Boudreau team, and he's done a great job with these teams, but can a Bruce Boudreau team win a big Game 7? Like, his teams get annihilated in Game 7.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. L.A. against Anaheim. Anaheim against Chicago. That game was over after the first
period. Even going
period.
Back to when he was
Washington,
the coach of the Capitals.
Pittsburgh, what was it? Like Pittsburgh,
7-1 or
yeah,
something?
Like, I mean, yeah. You get annihilated, and that concerns me. I almost think sometimes he's a little bit too hands-off. But he's been a really good coach, so, I mean, and he's certainly a likable guy. I agree with Ezzie. I mean, this is a pretty well-built team. A regular season really shouldn't be a challenge for them. you're going up the middle there with Getzlaff and Kessler. You have nice speed and size on the wings. Silverberg helps with the depth, and he really came into his own, and I do like it. I don't love Kevin Bieksa in his own zone. He's a bit of a disaster. He's
a third-pairing guy for
them. Yeah, good in the room, though, and you know what? Vatanen moved the puck. You mentioned all the defensemen. They're young, talented guys. I like Freddie Anderson more than other people do, and we think that many people think, including Eric DeHatch, that John Gibson will be the guy. So, I mean, this team should cruise through the regular season. In reality, based on that division, should be able. I mean, that division is not great this year. They should be able to win that division. I don't think with too much of a challenge. I think the one team that likely will challenge them in the division will be Los Angeles, but I do think it's Anaheim's division to lose.
The Vancouver Canucks finished 48-29-5, a surprising second-place finish for the Canucks in the Pacific Division. Additions: Brandon Prust, Brandon Sutter, and Matt Bartkowski. They lose the aforementioned Kevin Bieksa, Sean Mathias, Zach Cassian, Eddie Lack, Brad Richardson, Ryan Stanton, Nick Bonino, and Adam Clendenning. Nobody had any hopes for the Canucks last season. They surprised. Could they do it again this coming season?
I don't think the Vancouver Canucks are a playoff team this year, and I think it was very impressive that Willie Desjardins in his first year got this team into the playoffs. As Richie mentioned, I think the Pacific Division, although it's not one of the strongest divisions, I think it's probably the third best division out of the four in the NHL. I think that they're going to have a lot more of a pushback from the LA Kings this year. And I'm not saying that the LA Kings are going to win the Stanley Cup this year, but I think Los Angeles was a big mess last year with all of the stuff that was going off ice. We've talked about it a lot on this show. I think the Vancouver Canucks are still very strong in net. Ryan Miller's done an excellent job there, and I actually thought Eddie Lack was better than Markstrom, but I mean, they made the decision to trade Eddie Lack. But this team isn't as good defensively as it used to be. Certainly not the team that went to the Stanley Cup Finals 5 years ago. So where are the goals going to come from after the big boys? After the Sedins and Verbata, and you know, Brandon Sutter, as you mentioned, Drew, was the big acquisition. Really like Brandon Sutter. Is he going to be able to thrive in that second-line center role? Because as we know, he's got offensive capabilities, but his strength is on the defensive side of the game, and I don't know if he's ever going to be a 60-point guy. So I have concerns that the Vancouver is a little bit top-heavy and they're not going to score enough goals. Also, you're going to see a lot of young guys get a chance this year. Horvat, Jake Virtanen. I mean, they're going to go with these guys this year.
And Horvat is a great skater. Brandon Sutter improves your team's speed. I understand what they're trying to do there, but the team's just not good enough to me. They really overachieved last year. That's a credit to the players, of course, and to Willie
Desjardins. It's not a 100-point team.
I don't think so. I mean, their goaltending is nothing special. Their defense is... I like their top guys. I don't like their bottom guys. I don't love them. As a whole, this defense isn't great. And then you look at the forwards. Well, where are they going to get goals, right? And the Sedins are slowed down. They're kind of slow and not really aggressive last year. They've added some speed, and there is some skill to that speed. But I don't think it's there for the taking this year. They exceeded expectations. I see them taking a step back, but they are encouraged by their young players. Jake Virtanen, you know, they say he's kind of like a right-handed Kane in the way he plays up and down, very physical.
Scores goals off of his face.
Bo Horvat is a. I was impressed with him. Especially the way he can skate. I know Jared McCann's had a really good camp there, so the future is looking better there. I just don't think it's this season.
The Calgary Flames were another surprise team last year. A ton of young talent. They retooled even and improved by getting Michael Frolik, ex of the Winnipeg Jets, and Dougie Hamilton in a trade from Boston. They lose not very many impactful players from their team, not even worth going through.
Yep.
They finished 45-30-7 for third place in the Pacific Division last year. Can they improve on their third place finish in the Pacific Division?
Well, I think they can improve in the third place because I don't know if the other teams of the division are that particularly good, as I mentioned. You know, I don't think Calgary wins the division, but they can give other teams a run for their money and compete with the teams like Los Angeles and or Vancouver, whoever it is, for second spot. I think that division is kind of wide open, and I think only three teams make the playoffs out of that division this year. But you look at their top line. I mean, Gaudreau and Monahan are only going to get better. I mean, who they're playing with, those guys should have a very good season, maybe a step back a little bit, but I don't think anything crazy if they stick together. Frolik helps insulate some of the younger players. You have Bennett, Eric DeHatch, who sees the team a ton, thinks he's a really good player. Your defense, when Brody's back, is tremendous. Without Brody, you still have a top six of Giordano, Hamilton, Weidman, and Russell. So that's a depth issue. And the goaltending, Jonas Hiller kind of on his way out in some way. Well, we'll see. And it's not spectacular, but if they exceeded expectations and you look at their percentages, they were pretty high. But then you add Hamilton, your young players get better, you add Frolik. I expect them to make the playoffs.
Yeah, it's tough to not pick the Calgary Flames to make the playoffs. And I think after Anaheim, as Richie said, it's going to be between Calgary, LA for those second and third spots. Maybe San Jose, but I don't think Edmonton and Arizona certainly are ready to take that next step. So I think you're probably going to see at least five teams make it from the Central Division.
Maybe six.
Yeah, maybe six. And no, I'm a little bit concerned, though, that because the team is so young that they take a step back as a group. Listen, Johnny Gaudreau, Sean Monahan, and Yuri Hudler at times was the best line in the NHL.
Yeah,
so you can't take anything away from those guys. Gaudreau had an amazing rookie season. Monahan had a great second season. And as Rich mentioned, you add Dougie Hamilton to a group, and whether TJ Brody misses a few games at the beginning of the season, Mark Giordano wins the Norris Trophy if he's healthy. He's at least a finalist.
Yep.
They've got three excellent goaltenders. Everything's trending upward for this team. The only thing that concerns me a little bit is some of these other teams that struggled last year, they take some points away from the Flames.
Yeah.
Remember, the Flames, it took them to the last week of the season, just like the Jets, to make the playoffs. So it's not like they cruised into the playoffs last year. It's a dogfight for those last couple of playoff spots. So I want to pick Calgary to get in. I'm not sure. It's tough to not pick them as a team, just how they played last year. But I know teams like L.A., Dallas, Colorado, those teams are just itching to get back into the playoffs.
The Los Angeles Kings, you just mentioned the Mezzi, a very disappointing year last year, filled with tons of off-ice drama. They finished 40-27-15. They retooled this offseason, acquiring Milan Lucic from the Boston Bruins, Christian Ehrhoff and Jonas Enroth as well to back up Jonathan Quick in goal and Ehrhoff on their defense. They lose Robin Regier, Martin Jones, Andre Sekera, Andrew Bodnarchuk, Mike Richards, Justin Williams, Jarrett Stahl, and Slava Voyanov. Are these Kings a playoff team?
I think they're a playoff team. I think they're worse than last year, and last year they weren't a playoff team. But you take into account the distractions, take into account the wear and tear on the body for the playoff runs. You have a rested squad. True Doughty, in my mind, is the best defenseman in the National Hockey League. It appears they're moving closer to a deal. I think Pierre LeBrun was saying they're moving closer to a deal, and negotiations are going well with Anze Kopitar. And you look at their top six. I mean, you take out Williams, sure. You drop in Lucic. Different players. I actually like Williams better. But their top six, you have Carter, Toffoli, Pearson, Gabbert, Kopitar, Lucic. Really good top six. Can push Dustin Brown down. He's apparently lost some weight and is hoping to be better. The Voinov hurts, of course. I'm not as bullish on Ehrhoff than maybe some others. I don't love his defensive game. His defensive zone play is generally terrible, but he can move the puck and he can skate. Can he fit into that system and the way they play? That'll be interesting to see. But if Quick plays at a high level and doesn't kind of play a little bit up and down, I see them being a very difficult team to beat, and I do see them making the playoffs.
Yeah, Richie, and with Christian Ehrhoff, you hope Daryl Sutter has a good influence on him and gets him to be better defensively. The defense is not as good as it was when they won the two cups.
For sure.
But I do think this is a playoff team. And as Richie mentioned, Jonathan Quick is still one of the best goaltenders in the NHL. There were all of the distractions. This team still has Doughty. It's still got Kopitar. It's still got Jeff Carter. You know, Richie mentioned that 70s line. Toffoli, Pearson was injured for a lot of that last year. That line, I think, will be back to being a top line in the NHL offensively. It's not the top line on the team because it looks like Lucic will play with Kopitar and Gabrick, right. But top line offensively, and you've still got a lot of depth there. You know, Dustin Brown had a horrible year last year. He'll be better. So I think this team will get back into the playoffs. With everything that was going on last year, it's amazing that they were only 5 points out of a playoff spot.
And Eric Dash talked about, the after 60-minute struggles.
Sure. When we come back, one final segment on the Pacific Division, and we give our predictions for the upcoming 2015-16 NHL season. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live on TSN 1290. One final segment Saturday morning here as part of our 2015-16 NHL season preview spectacular on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's the last three teams from the Pacific Division before we get to our predictions for the upcoming season. The team that finished fifth in the Pacific last year, the San Jose Sharks, a record of 40-33-9. The additions of Joel Ward, Paul Martin, and Martin Jones. They lose Adam Burrish, Antti Niemi, and a couple of depth players, Taylor Fadun, Matt Irwin, and John Scott. Your thoughts on the
John
Sharks?
Scott.
Well, it said depth players. Your thoughts on the Sharks as they enter in to the 15-16 season with a core that is very similar to previous years, but a couple of interesting additions there with Ward, Martin, and Jones.
Well, the thing about San Jose is nobody's talking about them. Nobody. And they still have talent, you know, and I mean...
And they're going to name a captain soon.
Right. Probably one of the guys who's already been captain before. But you look at their roster...
I think it'll be Pavelski.
Look at their roster, and I mean, there's some pretty good players on the squad, and, you know, a guy like Justin Braun can move the puck, Brent Burns can move the puck, Vlasic, Paul Martin. I mean, their defense is pretty mobile. If Jones is really good, this could be that surprise playoff team. It really could.
I have him in.
Do you?
Yeah.
I like the way you're going there. Yeah. I don't, but if Jones plays well, I mean, the team... And I think,
well, if Drew has him in, Rich, we know for sure they're not making
100%. The one thing I like about... That's 100% true. The one thing I like about... I'll say this about Pete DeBoer, and I've said it before. He's never really had talented teams, and he got that Devils team to the final.
Kovalchuk and Parise aren't talented?
His defense was awful, as compared to many other finals teams. Who on that team? Name the whole defense. You probably can name the defense, but it's like the Carolina defense that won. And Marty Brodeur was past his prime, too. I mean, obviously, he played well. The point is, his team plays a really good five-man game. And I think if he can get them to buy in, and sounds like I'm not so sure how high their buy-in was, they could be that surprise squad. Or they could be terrible.
I don't think... Exactly. I don't think San Jose is making the playoffs this year. I think, you know, Joe Thornton and Patrick Marleau, as Richie was alluding to, I mean, these guys are still excellent players, even though they're a little bit older now. But I think, you know, the bottom six, even though Joel Ward kind of adds that grit and scoring on that third line there, I still think the defense is not strong enough to kind of make up for the fact that they don't have an elite goaltender. Martin Jones was an excellent backup for Jonathan Quick.
But so was Ben Scrivens. And so, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's a thing, Rich. And I think
he's more talented.
I think they've taken a step back.
Given
I think
the price they paid for him, he should be
Niemi's
more talented.
Niemi's a better goalie than Martin Jones. And Martin Jones hasn't proven it.
But Niemi was terrible last year at the end of the year. Well, don't get me wrong. And the whole track record-wise, he was. Right.
The whole team was terrible, right? So, you know, love Vlasic and Burns, but, you know, Paul Martin, I mean, he's past his prime. You know, Brendan Dillon, great defenseman. Mirko Mueller couldn't crack it last year, though he's young.
That top six is better than it's been in a while, no? I'm not saying I like the Martin contract, but Vlasic, Martin, Dillon, Mueller, Braun, and Burns, that's pretty good.
It's a good. It's not a
I could see Richie talking himself into the Sharks
right now.
Well, Rich just loves to do that at the end. Every year he likes to pick a team, just, you know, flip, you know, go for it. So,
Edmonton Oilers, obviously they won the McDavid sweepstakes, then they go out and they think they solved their goaltending.
I like Tommy Wingles, too.
They go out and solve their goaltending, they think, with Cam Talbot. They shore up the defense with Andre Sequeira, Griffin Reinhardt from the Islanders, Eric Greiba from the Senators. Are the Oilers a playoff team finally?
No. I think they're going to be better than they were last year, but to expect them to... And again, I like everything they've done. Cam Talbot, Richie, had an excellent season for the New York Rangers last year, and I think it was underrated how he kept the New York Rangers going when Henrik Lundqvist was injured. But I think when you look at the Edmonton Oilers, I still think that defense, even though they've made some nice acquisitions there, Sequeira giving him the contract, Justin Schultz has got to be better than he was last year, both defensively and offensively. You know, Eric Greiba and others, you know, Griffin Reinhardt will be given a shot. They'll be better this year. It's all about growth. And this team is on the upward trajectory, and Connor McDavid is probably going to score 70, 80 points, whatever. He's going to have an excellent season. He's the best prospect since Crosby and Ovechkin. They'll be a great team, but I just think to make that jump from one of the bottom feeders to a playoff team, especially in the better conference, I think it's too much to ask.
Yeah, Drew, I don't think their defense is good enough yet. I've heard really good things about Tal, but I can't really speak to that, but we'll see. McClellan has a good reputation as a coach. I just don't think their defense is up to par. I do think they'll take a step forward. Their talent level is undeniable, and the Eberle injury will hurt to start it off.
Mm-hmm.
But they're trending in the right direction. When you look at the defense, so, you know, you talk about Grabe, you talk about Reinhardt. Problem, I mean, those guys aren't that mobile. I mean, Reinhardt, I think, has always been overrated. I'm not saying he's not going to be an NHL defenseman, but I thought they paid a high price for him.
Yeah.
Grabe is kind of an immobile, like a physical kind of guy. I know what they're trying to do there, Ezzie, to help the young players, but I just don't think their top-end defensemen can play with the other team's top-end forwards.
Okay, Richie, we got one more team here.
The Coyotes.
Las Vegas Coyotes.
Yeah. Are they the worst team in the NHL?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they are, and I think that's to their benefit.
Because they want Austin Matthews, the Phoenix kid. He's from Arizona, everything about him. It works story-wise if they get Austin Matthews in the draft next season.
Why does Phoenix kid matter if they're going to be elsewhere?
Yeah, Arizona's going to be a bad team this year, and it'll be fun to watch. Dylan Strome's going to make the team, and Max Domi's made the team. It'll be fun to watch, but this team is nowhere near a playoff team.
Okay, playoff prediction time, guys. Give me your eight teams from the East. I'll start with you, Ezzie.
reserving, by the way, one pick till Wednesday.
So I know we were up against the clock here, so I'll give you my teams quickly. Tampa Bay, Montreal, Detroit. I got both New York teams, the Rangers and the Islanders, making it.
Chalk.
I got the Washington Capitals.
I got the same teams.
Pittsburgh Penguins and Columbus Blue Jackets. But an asterisk being, I really think Philly has a good shot at making it.
Really?
This year.
You think Hartford is going to make it this year? I have the same teams. Rangers, Islanders, Caps, Pens, Jackets, Bolts, Wings, and Habs. Those are my eight Eastern Conference playoff teams.
I have the same eight as well. It seems like
I'm basically switching Columbus for Ottawa.
Yeah.
That's
what we've all done, is switched to Columbus for Ottawa. West, Richie, you want to start off with your West teams?
I have seven teams. I'm reserving my eighth till our Jets preview on Wednesday.
Okay, fine. Who are your seven to start with then?
Hawks, Blues, and Wild. Ducks, Kings, and Flames, and the Stars. I have my cup picks, though, because I don't think that eighth team is going to be a cup team.
So hang on. Chicago, St. Louis, Minnesota.
Yep.
Anaheim, Dallas, Calgary, and the Kings.
Yes.
And then your eighth, you're reserving.
Yes.
Ezzy?
Can you do that?
Apparently you can. In these rules,
we haven't finished our Jets picks.
Okay, so I'm going to go with, I have six teams in the Central making it, and only two in the Pacific.
Ezzy, that's not possible.
You can't do that.
Well, I know you can't.
Can't
but
do
I,
that.
I want
that's
to.
Literally against the NHL's rules.
I know. I want to, though. So I have to pick
you have
one
to,
of them.
Yes, you're going to have to make a decision.
So I've got Anaheim, Chicago, St. Louis, Minnesota, Colorado, Dallas, L.A., and Calgary.
So you just named 10 teams.
You do not have the Jets, is what you're saying.
I want to pick the Jets, but I just don't think they do it this year.
Okay. I have, for my Western teams, St. Louis, Chicago, Minnesota, Dallas, Anaheim, Calgary, the Kings, and then, as I mentioned, the San Jose Sharks are my sort of wild card team. Between the Sharks, the Jets, and the Predators, I think that's sort of your toss-up team, and I think the Sharks are under the radar and a lot less dramatic than in past years, and I think Peter DeBoer is a good coach.
I think the big thing for them is their defense is better, and their goaltending has changed.
Yeah, certainly.
And my cup, I'm going to go off the board because my cup picks never mean anything anyways. The playoff picks, I change them. Washington Capitals against the Dallas Stars. And the Capitals win the cup.
The Capitals win the cup, you say? Okay.
Put it on the board.
I'm going to go with, in the West, I'm going to take, as a dark horse, the Minnesota Wild.
Okay.
To get to the Stanley Cup Finals against the Lightning, and I say the Lightning win the cup.
You say the Lightning win the cup at the end of the day. Okay. I will mark that down. I have Pittsburgh and Chicago in the Stanley Cup Finals, and I think the Pittsburgh Penguins. This is the year that they put it all together, and they're going to be healthy enough and have enough defense to make it through.
Bold.
We'll see. Bold. Nothing but bold predictions here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. The season preview show comes to an end at this point in time. We remind you, Wednesday, 6 p.m., NHL This Week, the season premiere, comprehensive Winnipeg Jets preview.
I will tease and say that you two haven't picked the Jets, so I could be the only guy in the whole crew who picks the Jets to make the playoffs. Listen on Wednesday.
You still have one pick to go. You'll fill it in. You'll fill in the blanks. Do we get to change our pick potentially on Wednesday?
No changes.
No changes. So you get to you get the 3 days to ponder accordingly.
Great show today, boys.
Big thank you to our guest, Eric DeHatchick of the Globe and Mail and Kevin Allen of USA Today. In case you missed either of those interviews or any of the season preview show, it's available on iTunes, on illegalcurve.com, and of course on tsn1290.ca. Big thanks to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, Zappia Group Realty, Jewish Foundation of Manitoba's 40th Annual Luncheon, Keener Jerseys, and Royal Sports. Follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, Facebook.com/Illegal Curve, and our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets news is IllegalCurve.com. For producer Sean, doing a great job on the board. For Richard Pollock and Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. If it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Stay tuned for both Blue Bomber Game Day and the Winnipeg Jets Game Day later on today on TSN 1290.